Turn with me this morning, if you would please, to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15, tell the story of Caleb, who kept the faith. Through suffering and trials, he stood up to doubt and discouragement all of his life. It would be wonderful this morning if we could go back and read the entire 13th and 14th chapters of the book of Numbers. And I would encourage you to take a little time today and do just that. Those of you who will take a few moments sometime today and read through Numbers 13 and 14 will receive blessings that will provide for you help that you probably need. We'll refer to them today, but if we were to read all the scriptures about this great man, we would only read scripture today instead of unfolding these scriptures. For now, we will read Joshua 14, verses 6 through 15. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Father, I pray that we would learn from this story today of this great man great truths that would cause us to have great faith. And I pray, Lord, that we would claim the mountains that you have promised to us, that we would not be afraid of the giants that need to be conquered, that we would keep our eyes on our Savior and his grace made available to us because of the cross. And Lord, I pray that we would learn from these verses and give our complete attention now to them and what they teach for the moments to follow. And may God be glorified and may the Spirit be present, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This week I received a phone call from a dear friend of mine in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Brother Tommy Gilmore has been a dear friend for many years. He is a helper of Dr. Ian Paisley. And he told me about something that's going to occur within about a month, which I am going to mention to you, but you can't tell anybody, because it will get to Northern Ireland this afternoon if you tell anybody. But there's going to be a time of commemoration of the 60th anniversary of Dr. Ian Paisley as the pastor of Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church. 60 years in the church. Can you imagine? And I remember 2 years ago when we had heard word that summer that Dr. Paisley was extremely ill and near unto death. And I told my wife, if there's any way that we could see him one more time before the Lord takes him to heaven. And one day I received a little email notice that there was a sale fair available to the United Kingdom. And I looked at it and I couldn't believe it. And I said, honey, we can go round trip to Dublin for $250. Let's go. And so we did. And we got there and we spent the night and we got a train to go to Belfast the next day to see Dr. Paisley before the Lord took him to heaven. And I called Mrs. Paisley on the phone and said we were on the train on our way. And she says, "Oh, John, Ian's been called to London." And I said, "Are you kidding?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, he must be okay." She said, "Oh, he's so much improved." And I thought, well, praise the Lord. So we didn't get to see him. But we visited with the others who were there. And Tommy Gilmore was one of the ones. And now as I think of a man who's in his 80s. And I know that he is a man who is either greatly beloved or greatly despised. And one of the reasons for that is because everyone knows exactly where he stands on the issues that he takes. I do not personally know of another man that I would rather have praying for me. There's a man who knows how to get a hold of God. A man who's one of the most incredible soul winners I have ever met in my life. An incredible individual. And when I study the story of Caleb, and I hear a man who says, "I am this day 85 years old," and I hear him saying, "Now give me this mountain," I think immediately of Dr. Ian Paisley. A man who in his 80s has fully, wholly served the Lord and loved Him with all of his heart. He pastors a church called Martyrs Memorial. And his life has been a memorial to the martyrs. What a great testimony. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us could come to those late years of our lives, and we don't know if he's near the end of his life or not, but the late years of life, and have someone give that kind of testimony about wholly following the Lord. Caleb was such a man. The major military operations have ended. We read in the last verse of our text today that the land had rest from war. That does not mean that there were not still conflicts. In fact, Caleb said, "Let me go up and conquer this mountain," and he did. So there were still battles to be fought and land to be won. But major military operations were over, and now it was time to divide the land. Caleb came forward and claimed what had been promised to him. Now, like Christ, for 40 years he wandered with Israel in the wilderness. He had the courage and the faith to go in and conquer this land years before. But Israel was not allowed to go, and therefore Caleb was not allowed to go. He had to bear the burdens of his brethren. And here's the lesson for you and me today. You may have to bear the burdens of your brethren, but you must have faith and hold fast to the promises of God. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing, we think, in our flesh, if the moment we trust Christ as our personal Savior, we could go immediately to heaven? Why do you suppose the Lord left us here? He left us here because we need to grow, and He left us here because we need to go. We need to grow in our relationship with the Lord, and we need to introduce others to the Lord. He could have taken us to heaven at the moment of salvation, but He gave us a ministry in the wilderness to others. And He's given us promises in the land, which we must cling to and hope for and trust God that someday we will be able to see. There are two simple things that I want you to see from this story of Caleb. And we don't have time for an exhaustive study of his life today. And perhaps we could have a whole series on this man, Caleb. But here are these two truths that I want you to take home with you today. The first is that you must believe that God has prepared you for a place in His promise. God has prepared you for a place in His promise. And then the other thought is very similar to that. You must believe that God has prepared a place for you in His promise. The Lord Jesus Christ told us in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." So we know He's preparing a place for us, but He's also preparing us for that place. He's working in you. He's working through you. And Caleb is a wonderful illustration of how He does that. Consider with me first, from the first few verses of our text, that God has prepared you for a place in His promise. God had not only prepared a mountain for Caleb, God prepared Caleb for the mountain. Please understand that. You may think that God has nothing for you to do. You may think that God is through with you. You may think that you've already done all you can. But you've got to remember what Caleb said. Be faithful when everyone else is unfaithful. That is an important principle of life. Your faithfulness to the Lord does not have to depend upon the faithfulness of any other person to the Lord. When you become willing to stand alone in your relationship with God, you will know something about what Caleb understood. There are not very many people that want to stand alone today. Most people want to look and see what the crowd is doing before they take their stand. Most people want to be with the majority. Most people want to shoot and then go draw the bullseye around the bullet hole. They want to be a winner more than they want to be right. And the character of a man like Caleb is the character that all of us need to learn. Believe that God has prepared us for a place in His promise, and be faithful when everyone else is unfaithful. Caleb stood up for the promise of God before anyone else would stand up. Now keep your hand here in Joshua chapter 14 and turn back with me to the book of Numbers. I'm going to review this story with you. I won't read all these verses. It would take us probably 10 to 15 minutes just to read these two chapters. But the Lord speaks to Moses in the first verse of Numbers 13 and says, "Go send some men into the land to search it out. I've given it to the children of Israel. From every tribe, you're going to choose a man. So choose one man from each of the tribes and send them into the land." Now look at verse 6. In Numbers 13, he says, "Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." So Caleb was one of the 12 spies that was sent into the land. Now, nobody remembers the name of the others except for Joshua, because those men were unfaithful. They died very soon after they brought their evil report. And the names are given. It says in verse 16, these are the names that were given. And Moses called Oshea, or Joshua, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, which is the Old Testament form of the word Jesus. Jehovah is salvation, is what it means. Moses sent them to spy out the land, verse 14 says, and he told them, "Get your way up southward, go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell there, and whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And tell us what the land is. Go and describe it, whether it's good or bad, and whether it's fat or lean," he says. And this was the time of the first ripe grapes. And you know that they went to Eshcol and they brought back the grapes. And to this day, a symbol for the nation of Israel is two men with a huge staff carrying a bunch of grapes that's almost as large as they are, referring to this story. Verse 21 tells us that they went in and searched out the land, and it describes all the geography of where they went. And it also speaks of Hebron in verse 22. They ascended by the south and came into Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. This was a very old fortress city there on that mountain. They came to the brook of Eshcol, verse 23 says, "And cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes and bear it between two of them on a staff. The fruit of that land was so good that it took two men to carry one bunch of grapes. The blessings of this land were almost indescribable." And they brought some of the other fruit that they described there. And they returned, verse 25 says, "from searching the land after 40 days. They went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation, and brought back word to them and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, and told them, 'We came to the land where thou sent us, and it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it.'" Verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people of the land that dwell, the people are be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." These were giants, huge people, warriors, fierce and frightening. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coasts of Jordan." Look at verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Who was the first man to speak, to give his eyewitness testimony, and to say, "Let's go. Let's go right now and get it"? Verse 31. "But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." And look what happened. Verse 1 of 14 says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" Remember Egypt? Remember what we learned about that in Exodus? What kind of circumstances they were living in? "And they said one to another, Let us make us a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from us, and the Lord is with us. Fear not them." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me?" And you go on to read the story of Moses praying his wonderful intercessory prayer before the Lord and pleading with the Lord to deliver these people for the sake of the testimony of all these people. And he says in verse 19, "Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy." And the Lord says in verse 20, "I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went to possess, and his seed shall possess it." And then he says, "Turn back to the way of the Red Sea." And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron and explained to them what was going to happen. And he explains to the people that you're going to die. Your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, he says in verse 32. Your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said it. I will surely do it to all this evil congregation. And then it tells us in verse 36 that the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander on the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. The first 10 to die were the 10 lying, discouraging spies. And the rest of the people, everybody who was over 20 years old, died in the desert. In fact, the people said, "Oh, look what we've missed out on. Look what we've done to ourselves. Let's raise up ourselves and let's go on up and get this mountain." Verse 40 says, "They rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up to the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned." Oh, that was a mistake. We're going to miss out on the promised land. Let's go get it. And Moses said, "You better not do it, because the Lord's not going with you." And they went anyway, and the Amalekites drove them out. So they wanted the mountain, but they wanted it for their own selfish reasons, and they didn't get it at all. Then we come to this story in Joshua, and we are reminded of what happened. That's what happened back yonder. Now they've come to the promised land. Just as Caleb had stood up for the promise of God before anyone else would, way those years before, now he's standing firm on the promise of God and reminding them of what he had done. In our text, Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, here's Caleb's testimony these 40 years, 45 years later. And now behold, he says in Joshua 14:10, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in this wilderness. And lo, I am this day 85 years old. He was 40 years old when he went in to spy the land. He's 85 years before he gets to go in and conquer his mountain. But the Lord has sustained him. He said, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. I'll go out into the battle and I'll come back from the battle, he says. He's 85, but he's got a mountain, and his name is on it, and he's going to claim the deed. He was faithful when everyone else was unfaithful, and he was flourishing while everybody else was perishing. That was his testimony. We saw in chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 37, that the 10 unfaithful spies died immediately. You can go on to read there in Numbers chapter 14 that the entire adult population died eventually. But this one man lived to take the high ground of God's promise. And here he is at the age of 85, and he is still as ready to go in and get it as he was when he was 40. God gave him the strength to be with his people and to continue to testify of the truth. Here is a man who wholly followed the Lord, whether it was in going in to claim the land or waiting while everybody else got there. He kept his eyes on God. You know, when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to offer grace and mercy and a kingdom to the Jews, they rejected it. And they said no. And the world has now waited for 2,000 years for him to come back and establish his kingdom. But that whole purpose of that long delay, and however much longer it is so that you and I could come in. So that you and I could have the opportunity for mercy. And they had to wait until the Lord was ready. The New Testament explains to us and enables us to surrender to the mercy of the cross. But it's the Old Testament that helps us to understand the judgment exacted by the cross. If it were not for the Old Testament crowd, we wouldn't understand the New Testament message. If there hadn't been men like Caleb and Joshua who went in to conquer the people who represented sin, you and I wouldn't understand the principle of conquering sin. These things happen for our example. Caleb is a name which is also a Hebrew word. Many people simply translate it by the word dog, because it does mean dog. But it means far more than dog. It means fierce as a dog. Some have even said that it literally means raging with canine madness. That's the literal meaning of the word. Caleb was the Hebrew dog of war. Caleb wanted to get into battle and take care of business. And when he did, he took care of business. This man was a warrior. This man harbored nothing from the enemy. He's an example to you and me. We have very little respect today for people who want to appease and negotiate forever with those who would destroy us. But let me ask you a question today. How much do you want to appease and negotiate with that in your heart which will destroy you? You and I need to respond to our flesh the way Caleb responded to the enemies of Israel, because that's what the lesson is all about. The physical battles of the Old Testament are illustrations to help us understand the spiritual battles of the New Testament. And we need to take the approach of Caleb with our flesh. There's a giant that lives in the heart of everyone in this room, and that giant is called the flesh. And that flesh is the ally of the devil. And you and I need to respond to it the way Caleb responded. We need to say today, give me this mountain. Give me my life. Give me my spiritual power. Give me what God promised me in salvation. That I would not only be delivered from the penalty of sin, but that I could be delivered from the power of sin, as someday I long for being delivered from the very presence of sin. And the victory that I need today is the same victory I got in salvation. And God, give me that victory. Instead of being defeated by our enemies, we need to claim victory over our enemies. And that enemy of the flesh is where we need to begin. This was a time of war. And Caleb embodied the courage immortalized in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. Cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war. That ought to be our attitude toward our sin. Enough of this. Enough of this doubt and despair and discouragement that comes from the self-reliance of believing that somehow we can squeeze it out of ourselves and do right. No, sir. Human strength will never do. We've got to wholly follow the Lord. We've got to trust Him. Caleb was not the man he was because he had strong muscles. Caleb was the man he was because he had spiritual might. It doesn't tell us he wholly fought for the Lord. It tells us he wholly followed the Lord. That's what we need to do. You need to believe that God has prepared you for a place in His promise. Caleb was not afraid of the giants. Caleb was excited about the grapes. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Caleb saw the blessings of God that he could have. And he knew that the enemies of God in the land of Canaan were just his project. They were not his problem. They were God's problem. And God said, I have prepared you to go defeat them. Now go get them. And Caleb never doubted that. And while everyone else was doubting it and crying out, let's go back to slavery. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back and let the Pharaoh beat us into building all of his treasure cities. At least we'll be able to eat. They didn't learn that God would take care of them. Had to eat the manna for 40 years to be able to understand that God could take care of their physical needs. And even then, many of them forgot it. God has prepared you for a place in His promise. But remember this, God has prepared a place for you in His promise. He not only wants to do something through you, He wants to do something for you. He really is preparing a place for you in heaven. And He has a place for you in His ministry today. In verses 12 through 15 of our text today, here's the important lesson of the difference between a man like Caleb and many of the rest of us. When others see a great battle, faith sees a great blessing. What does he say in verse 12? Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb wanted the very mountain where lived the very giants that had discouraged the hearts of the people. It was that mountain. It was that walled fortress built hundreds of years before Egypt had been built. Why do you suppose it was such a fortress? Look at the topography of Israel. See Hebron. From the top of Hebron, you can see the whole south of Israel. It was a wonderfully strategic, powerful place. Later, it would become a city of refuge. Isn't that interesting? That Caleb got a piece of real estate, and right in the middle of it was a place where everybody wanted to go to find the mercy of God. And this man claimed one of the most desirable pieces of real estate. It was not just desirable to him and to Israel. It was desirable to the people who were already there, too. That's why they were there. The things that are most worth having are the things that cost you much to obtain. The thing that brings the greatest reward is the thing that will give you the greatest battle to get. We need to be finished with this business today of wanting it soft and easy. So many people today have the attitude, whether they're talking about where they settle down and get their job and build their home, or even where they go to church. What's in it for me? A country will not long survive that is only focused on its comfort. This country was not built because men wanted to be comfortable, but because men had conviction. And men who lack conviction, who only want to enjoy the comfort that was bought for them by the blood of others, will not either be able to be comfortable or have conviction. You and I need to understand that it takes men like Caleb to claim the high places where the blessings are. He asked for the very mountain that had discouraged his brethren. He claimed the very mountain that he had dreamed of for his children. The text doesn't tell us this, but I can just imagine during those 40 days when they were walking all over that land, having to be careful, moving by night, making little sketches, perhaps maps, and drawing out the place so they could go back and tell Moses, this is where we went, and this is what we saw, and here's what's over here, and these are the cities that are there, and these are the people that live there. And I can just imagine Caleb lying there some night, looking up the stars above and the shadow of that great mountain, thinking to himself, that's the one I want right there. And I can imagine that he imagined what it would be like to see his grandchildren and think about his great-grandchildren playing on the hills below the shadow of that great Mount Hebron, claiming it not only for himself and for his family, but claiming them and it for God. That's what we need today, is some people of vision who will think about someone other than themselves. Think about future generations. Think about their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And the price that needs to be paid in our lives, whether it be practical and external, or whether it be spiritual and internal, is the price that is not just paid for what we might enjoy. We come to the end of our lives and we say, I've done all I can and that's all there is. Aren't you thinking about your descendants? Aren't you thinking about your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren? Don't give up for their sake. Hold out faithful and remember the promise of God. When others see a great battle, learn to see the great blessing. And when others see the impossible, remember your inheritance. What does it say to us in verse 14? Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb. He got it. And it tells us in chapter 15 and verse 16, he says, we got a little problem over here in this city called Kirjath Sefer. Whoever takes it, I'll give him the city and I'll give him my daughter too. And Othniel said, I want it. And he went and got it. And then one of his daughters came to him and said, and while you're giving it to us, we need some water supply. He said, you can have that too. Caleb got a choice piece of real estate because of his trust in God. Now, my friend, you think about it. You think about the inheritance of your descendants spiritually. And you think about the fact that the stand you take for God today may determine the rewards that generations will receive in heaven someday. Think on it. Your life doesn't just belong to you. It belongs to God, and it belongs to others that belong to God. He claimed that mountain because he conquered those giants. He wholeheartedly, that's what it means when it says he wholly followed the Lord. He followed the Lord with his whole heart. Wholeheartedly followed the Lord. That's why he claimed the mountain. But you know, he conquered the giants because they were the ones that were holding his inheritance. He got the inheritance because he conquered them. But he conquered them because they were holding what was his. You see, when you think about the giants in your life and the things that you have to overcome and the difficulties that you're facing, do you realize that those giants are occupying territory that God wants you to rejoice in? They're holding a part of your life that God wants to use to cause you to be a blessing to His name and to others? You say, my flesh is just too strong. No, it's not. You can't conquer your flesh. You are your flesh. God conquers your flesh. You get the victory in God's name because your flesh is holding that which God wants to cause you to be able to rejoice in. The reason that Caleb was willing to go up against those giants is because they were living on his property. And you'll never be willing to go up against the giants that are defeating you in your life until you realize they're living on your property. You need to take a hold of your old man and say, get out! Put off the old man. You don't live here anymore. That's what you need to do today. That's what Caleb did. America may eventually come to the place where it's willing to fight because it's afraid it's going to lose its comfortable way of life. But a country that doesn't cherish its freedom to worship God and prove it by actually worshiping God is going to lose its freedom for everything else. I hear an awful lot of people defending their right to do something they don't bother with most of the time. Where's the conviction in that? A whole generation of Hebrews missed their inheritance because they craved the security of slavery. When they looked at the giants, their first response was, let's get us a leader and go back to Egypt. How many people have that same attitude today in their own Christian lives? Let's don't rock the boat. Let's don't do anything to get the devil's attention. I don't want him for an enemy. Let's lay low. Let's be careful. They were willing to surrender to the Egyptians to avoid the risks of victory in Canaan. Why, if we go into Canaan, they'll kill us. Well, what do you think they're going to do if you go back to Egypt? Same thing will happen to you when you surrender to the flesh. Even when they talked themselves into taking a stand, they didn't do it for the glory of God. They did it for what they thought they were going to lose. Okay, let's go. We'll go. We'll go up to the mountain. There was a time to go up to the mountain and they had missed it. And when the time came for them to go back to the mountain, Caleb said, I'm ready. I was ready before. I'm ready now. That's my mountain. The mountain has to be a picture of spiritual victory in our lives. People who fight and win for the glory of God are not people who are fighting for possessions. They're people who are fighting for principles. Caleb was fighting for principles. He stood up and said, God will give us the victory. And now he's going to go prove it. When you look at the history of Israel, you see them vacillating constantly between despair and presumption. On the one hand, they say, we can't do it. And on the other hand, they say, we can do it by ourselves without God. You see that? In the same chapter, Numbers 14, the chapter begins with them crying that they can't get the victory, and the chapter ends with them saying, we'll go do it whether God goes with us or not. That is the folly of the flesh. Caleb had the right response when they were telling both of those lies. When they said, we can't, he said, God can. When they said, we can without God, Moses and those who followed him said, you better not try. The flesh always makes the wrong decision. The Spirit ought to make the right decision. Wholly follow the Lord. Sometimes we have to bear the burdens of others that are not ready to go. But let's remember, whatever our response now, whatever cross we are called to bear, one of these days, we're going in the land. And we're going to receive what God has promised to us. Our responsibility right now is to wholly follow the Lord. Whether it be to go into the land now, to go back to the wilderness for a while, to come back to the land later, whatever it is that God says for us to do, let's just do it. Why? Because God is preparing us for His promise, and God is preparing a place for us in His promise. Father, cause us today to realize that when the battles rage, we're going to tend to respond the same way Israel did. We're going to think at times that we can't possibly do it. We're afraid of the enemies that we face. And then when we tighten down the screws of our courage, we think we can do it by ourselves. God, forgive us for our folly. Forgive us for the unbelief that causes us not to get in the battle. And forgive us for the unbelief that causes us to rush into the battle without the power of God. Lord, help us to realize that the battle is about learning to trust God. And there are folks here today in this room who are no doubt fighting their battles, whatever they are. Cause them to see the faith of Caleb and to wholly follow the Lord. And not just to pick out some mountain that they want that you haven't promised to them. And to say, if I'll just have the faith, I can have it for myself. Help us to realize, Lord, that's what Israel tried after the Lord told them not to. But Lord, when you've promised us something, give us the faith to believe that you'll do it. And all we have to do is wholly follow the one who made the promise. In Jesus' name, amen.